Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the May 16 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. Look us up in iTunes and Spotify, Google Play, and NPR One app. You can listen to us as a podcast. Our panelists this week include Dave Chatterton. He's with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County. From Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, we have Pete Manhart and Kurt Kimmel. And Wayne Nelson is with us. He's from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'd ask you all what we should talk about, but probably there's really only one subject at the moment. That's the weather. Maybe some other things should come up. Oh, right. We do have something to talk about as it relates to China as well. But let's get started, Dave, with the kind of the things that happened this week so far and your expectations as we move into the month of June.
Yeah, Todd, so a very interesting week. We're finally back on the upswing here in the commodities. We've had some nice gains. We've had some reversal. Of course, it's all tied to weather. We've gotten last week past a bearish USDA report, past the China-U.S. trade meetings. We're on the other side of that now and looking at a situation where the market has regained its focus on weather and, of course, planting and progress and looking ahead has come into focus. And it's a tough hoe, particularly here in Illinois, where we see, you know, planting progress on last week's USDA report, 11%. Average would be over 80%. Same situation in Indiana, Ohio, a lot of other states. So it's a market that has finally ignited itself. We've seen some fun short covering this week, and weather has been the topic, as you mentioned.
So, Kurt, you look at these numbers from the USDA's weekly crop progress report. As he said, just 11% planted in Illinois. Not a lot of movement through Thursday of this week. I wouldn't think expectations would be high for next week's weekly crop progress report, although they have been able to move some in the Western Corn Belt.
Yeah, we've seen some activity. I don't know if we can jump 10, maybe 15%. But you got to remember, the dry ground's getting planted. And if this next system coming through going into the weekend, that wet ground's never going to really have an opportunity to dry out, and it's going to get deluged again. So it's going to be an ongoing process. Guys are driving around hunting. They say, we're not doing anything, but we just got an 80 in here or 40 in there. So progress is slow. The key, though, is when it's all said and done, it's that last 10% of the crop going in later in June.
That might take a long time. How late in June do you think we'll be for the last 10%?
I should say maybe 4th of July.
Could be. So, Wayne Nelson, how much movement has been taking place in your area around Crawfordsville, Indiana?
They started planting a little bit in some areas. Mostly guys were out just on Wednesday night, Thursday, trying to open up some ground so they could maybe plant on Friday if it doesn't rain on Thursday night. Basically, we're way behind. I don't think we're over 10% planted in our area. And I'll tell you what, the weather forecast looks awfully wet.
So it is a wet forecast, and then on Thursday afternoon and morning, Wisconsin, part of, I assume, northern Indiana at some point, but Wisconsin's now out of the hunt, or at least it looks like they probably are. That's 4% of the U.S. corn crop, if you say they've gotten enough at this point to take them out for a week or a week and a half, maybe even longer than that, Pete Manhart.
And we're less than 10% here in central Illinois, and if it rains Thursday or Saturday, we're not going to get much of anything done this week. I've got guys that normally finish planting the 1st of May, haven't started yet, and won't for a week to 10 days. With more rain coming, I don't expect progress in the eastern Midwest to be much at all, and I expect those prices to keep climbing.
Should farmers be looking at a place for old crop corn sales?
I have got them looking now, and they're basically, some of them that need to get rid of it are just getting rid of it and replacing it on the board. That way they're out of it, so when they do are ready to go to the field, they can go. There's still expectations that 30% of the corn will be planted after June 1st.
So, Kirk Kimmel, your colleague, has told us that looking to make some sales, old crop, for farmers at this point, does it matter very much how far along they are? Because I'm guessing a lot of them aren't very far along, and how aggressive you want them to be.
Well, there's ideas that maybe the old crop producers maybe 55% sold, so there's still a chunk to be sold yet. I think you got to take a little risk off the table. Looking at the futures, we're up against some long-term moving averages, some retracement levels. Not to say we can't go higher in through here, but I think you got to reward the market and replace ownership on options or futures or covered positions, because if we go much higher from here, they're going to widen the basis out on you. The commodity fund's not going to call Todd up and say, hey, Todd, I'm going to buy your corn. They're going to run the board. And so I think the biggest bang for your dollars, to replace it on paper, you can manage it, but you got to be in a covered position, because the whole trick, either you're bullish or bearish, is you've got to have some staying power in this atmosphere.
You know, we had a farmer call in the other day, and he told us that he was talking to Cargill. Them and the other ethanol plants are bidding up for the next 2 months, but they are not. Their basis has widened out another 15 to 20 cents for last half July and August, because they think the farmers will still have so much corn left, they can buy it for little or nothing during that time, or a very, very wide basis. So what Kurt and Pete are saying is maybe taking advantage of the tighter basis now. And if you want to have a call or whatever, the basis level, you know, get this tight basis level and then replace it with that call, because it's going to be a rush of corn during the last part of July and August to get empty from the farmers, unless they don't get anything planted.
I guess I'm not completely convinced that farmers will think that there's going to have to be a rush of corn at that time. And they're thinking, I'm going to hold off until we get to the harvest season. That may or may not be the right thought process.
Yeah, certainly a lot of danger in that proposition. The forecast, we know, can be very fickle, can change very quickly. We know with big equipment, efficient farmers, that we can get a lot planted in a short amount of time. History would prove 40 to 50% can be done in a week inside of a state or nationally. So the USDA data, you know, argue with it if you like, but the latest things that we have show us that farmers are holding record amounts of corn and beans on farm. And we can debate the amount of that that's unpriced or priced, but sooner or later that's going to have to move. They've been very reluctant here while they haven't been able to plant a crop to move that. But history tells us crops get planted, and eventually when that does, that basis pressure is going to come to bear. And so it's something you need to pay attention to, and I would agree with these guys. Look at those basis levels in your local area, and if you find something that you feel is attractive, acceptable, even a little bit below historical standard, you need to think about locking that in, if nothing else, and then transitioning from a cash position to a paper position that you can manage properly.
Speaking of the numbers for the weekly crop progress report, USDA reports those on Monday afternoon. We put state reports up on the WILL radio programs on Tuesday during the closing market report from Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota. They're always very interesting because they look a lot different sometimes than what the national numbers do. So that 11% from Illinois, of course, you heard about on Tuesday of last week. Now, given that, the work from the University of Illinois bears out what the weekly crop progress has shown, that about 7% of the crop, if everybody's going full force every day, can be put into the ground, and that our big weeks never have seven full days, 43% twice, one in the early 90s and one here in the 2000s at some point. So we've got a lot of time. We've got a lot of crop to put in a short amount of time at this point.
Yeah, if you look at the last 10-year history of planting pace, we put in 20 to 25% a lot of years, but only two of those years over 40. So it's going to be a long while before we get planted, and that depends on, again, weather. Is it going to rain this weekend? Is it going to rain next week? Where is it dry enough to plant? You go out west and north, there's places where they're half done or done, but around here it's basically zero.
Do you think they'll be able to move, or is there enough rain in the forecast that they're going to remain stopped?
I think, in general, the eastern Midwest will not accomplish much in the next 10 days.
And if you look to the west in that case?
Well, they're a little further along. We've seen Iowa make some great headway in through here, but the
thing about it is Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin is further along in corn planting progress than Illinois. But we're talking planting progress. There's still field work to be done before you can plant, so that modifies that somewhat too.
How long do you think before we've completed corn planting?
I think it's going to be a drawn-out affair. I think it's down to prevent plant.
Should farmers consider prevent plant?
That's a good question for Wayne.
Well, of course we should. I mean, that's why we take our crop insurance. If you have put no anhydrous, no fertilizer, no spray down, and you're going to be a very, very late planting date, by gosh, it's going to pay more than your cash rent. It's probably going to return your insurance payment, and it's also going to give you probably $40 or $50 an acre. We weren't figuring that 2 weeks ago before this rally started to make $40 to $60 an acre. So that's good. Scott Irwin says we could see 3.6 million acres of prevent plant this year. That's the most we've had since 2013. You know, that was the highest number. And there's other guys who are thinking that this year that could double as far as we go. You know, the good Lord takes care of us sometimes, and we've got a really, really big carryout. We had a drought in 2012 that got us back down. Maybe it's going to be prevent plant with water this time. You know, back in 93, we didn't get the rally coming early. They just went, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, we can get this planted. And they sold it off, and convinced a lot of us that we were wrong, and we just got short. This year, they're planting the prevent plant a lot earlier, and I think it's going to be something to really consider the acres we lose, and maybe, this is going to get us back in a little better balance on our carryouts.
Well, Spain may be a little better balance. However, the anchor around the marketplace, and we saw this earlier after the dispute with China was not finished up last week, is just that this dispute is still in place, and people are saying a month, but I think more are saying 3 months or possibly through the end of the year at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of guidance on that, Todd. I mean, right now, the administration is saying that they have plans to meet with China. They have not specified a date. There's been talk or indication that Trump and President Xi would meet on the sidelines of the G20 meeting. That's not till the end of June, and that's not a certainty as well. So certainly the demand element of what's going on out here has to be calculated for. And I think one thing we haven't talked about, we're talking about corn and the U.S. balance sheet, but when you look at what's going on in South America, combined, Brazil and Argentina are going to harvest a record corn crop here, and indications would be that that's a 30 million metric ton increase over last year. That's 1.1 billion additional bushels that will be in the world supply pool that can be exported, or part of the export picture that will compete with U.S. values. You throw currency and other things into that on top of the trade war, and, you know, that's what we're saying about watching your local basis levels and not setting your sights quite too high, because we still have these issues ahead of the market.
And there's just an awful lot of crop around the world and available, and that Brazilian corn crop, the second crop corn, just looks like, as you mentioned, a really big bin buster, and it gets exported as opposed to going into the domestic supply there.
Correct. I mean, Brazil, because of their storage, their infrastructure system, hold very little ending stocks, and they need to push that out into the market. So our values right now on corn are not as competitive as we would like. There's certainly some premium there for beans as China turns to them for beans, but we've seen that premium widen out as much as $2 when the trade war started last year. Currently it's 60 cents. So we've got plenty of competition around the world. We didn't talk about the Black Sea and Ukraine and Russia and the grain stocks that sit there, but the supply situation around the world is why we're at the prices that we've made here, and why we made an 11-year low in beans. So we've got some work to do.
So it sounds so far as if the farmer's probably going to want to get bullish, but there are lots of reasons for them to hold, not the crop, but to hold off on their bullish stance in this marketplace.
Well, right now, what reason is there to be bullish except we haven't been able to plant? The rest of the world has plenty. China right now is buying tons from South America instead of us. If we did have an agreement with them, that was going to help provide them buying from us, but that's gone. So really, we don't have any really positive things to look at except we're not getting it planted.
What does the technical picture look at this point?
Well, short term in here, we're up
getting close to some overhead resistance. We're looking at some retracement levels. If you draw some downtrend lines in the corn chart, we're starting to bang against that. So we're at an area we need to probably pause for a second. This week was positive, though, for corn and wheat. Technically, we had a key price reversal to the upside. We're fixing to record a key price reversal to the upside on the weekly chart. It's a long ways till the end of the month, but we got a monthly reversal in the workings, too. So technically, it says this week's lows, you know, should hold in through here. But we've got some overhead resistance we got to plow through here to trip the green line above the red line.
So on Thursday afternoon, we talked to Romolo Lolato, who is the Kansas State Extension wheat specialist, about their wheat crop and what that looks like. That probably helped to start, actually, this week's push in the corn market higher because it finally began to move upwards. He says that crop is actually about 4 weeks behind its normal maturity. He's concerned, of course, about the rainfall, but he was really much more concerned that during grain fill that will now happen much, much later, there'd be an awful lot of heat, and this could be a problem for that crop. That might open up for corn as well. How important is wheat's ability to rally to the corn market?
It's very important, Todd. I mean, it's another feed grain. And I mean, basically out there right now, we're seeing that the ratings have been tremendously high. And Kansas City is actually below Chicago and Minneapolis. So looking at that, that's very, very important. If we could take that and knock it on down, it's just like as we're looking at the corn. If you're looking at the planting progress, we might only have 67% done by June 1st. And after June 1st, we only see a 15 to 20% yield drag. And that could take 15% off the yield and knock us down. In the same respect with the wheat, if we get into that and pull that down, all of a sudden those high ratings come back to just about where they last year, and then the feed wheat and all that backs off a bunch. They're competition with each other when it gets down to feed grains.
So it all comes down at this point, as I look at it, for new crop, to the idea, can I get it planted? When do I get planted? And then I have to figure out how much of a yield drag there will be on my corn crop.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, late planting, I mean, we're looking at probably potentially 40% of the U.S. corn crop that gets planted in June. And the U of I work that we've talked about to this point would suggest that's a 10 to 15% yield drag. That's a big deal to the U.S. balance sheet. So, you know, when you start talking about where that might lead us, again, we put that, you know, reduction in the U.S. balance sheet or the U.S. carryout, maybe we can drop down to 1.4, 1.5, 1.6 in that scenario. But we're still facing these higher world stocks that are going to be a very competitive situation. So there is some upside here, and as Kurt mentioned, I mean, technically we've got some ground here. We've got funds still holding record shorts in beans. They've come off their record shorts to a certain degree in corn, but there is some firepower there. But we need to be ready as producers to take advantage of that and manage risk and look forward.
At the same point in time, farmers probably have to consider how much their yield drag is and not overextending themselves too early or being too aggressive on early sales. Is that right?
Early sales of 19, but they can use the rest of this year to catch up on old crop, which they still have a lot of, and at least get the basis. I've got guys said the basis there is even until August 1. Well, hey, if prices go up, I'd be unloading that old crop and be ready to start on new crop if it gets high enough.
What's your thought process on soybeans at this time?
Sell. We've got an opportunity here to see maybe wheat and corn pull beans up somewhat. There's just a lot of uncertainty on the beans. The thing is, on the weekly export sales report, China's non-existent, but China cancels some pork purchases. So if China's completely out of the equation, we got to have Brazil and Argentina pick up some of our exports like they did last year, so it goes through the back door to Asia. So I'm quite concerned with that. Man, some of these carryout estimates are up to 1.2, 1.5 billion bushel carryout if we don't see these exports pick up or see yield reduction or lower acreage. So beans continue to be a concern. There is a speculative group out there that believe beans are undervalued and beans have the most to the upside. But, man, I'd be in a managed position if you want to go down that road.
Well, Todd, South America has sold more beans, and they sold more beans this last week to China. They're getting up to the level of what they need to buy. Old crop beans aren't going to disappear even if we get a deal with China now out of the U.S. That leaves us with a heck of a carryover. Oh, my gosh, we're talking about late planted corn. We can't get corn in the ground. What do we plant? We generally plant more beans. Oh, my gosh, that's more bean acres. That's more beans. That means we got one hell of a chunk of beans coming on for the next year. We're not looking for the great big rally in beans. They'll be drugged by corn and wheat, but reluctantly and much lower, or as not good.
Yeah, I mean, simply put, we're on a very fine edge in the bean market right now. Beans can go as high as fund short covering can carry it. Any reduction in corn acreage ultimately backs into some degree to more bean acres and makes our problems worse, makes our carry out bigger. As Wayne mentioned, we've seen 40 to 50 cargoes go to China here out of Brazil in the last 10 days. They're getting coverage out into the autumn months, out past our or into our harvest. So it is not, old crop has a very big problem going forward unless we see some amount of fund short covering here.
Beans from around the world being bought by China, not from us, having an agreement with China won't get them to come to us because they've already bought them. So beans have a big problem.
What are the things in your mind that are most problematic for farmers to get around? So what are the things that keep them from making sales at this point? What is it that they need to throw out of their minds? What is it that they need to forget about and to really sit down and look at the marketplace in a different way?
Well, right now, farmer psychology with the guys I work with is, I'm not going to make any new sales now or old sales until I get the crop in the ground. So the theory is I'll get it planted, I'll see it come up, then I'll make the sale, then it's probably too late. So you got to use this weather concern or this speculative short covering to get something booked in there. You got to keep it simple. Put a price floor under you, let the upside run.
You know, one of the things we've been looking at, Todd, is how about the guys that can't get any corn planted, but they're feeding a lot of cattle or a lot of hogs? You know, we've looked here, and 370 has sort of held the bottom side of this corn market. So we're going to sell a 370 put. We're going to buy a $4 call because that's what we're close to. And then we're going to sell a 450 because even as we look at things in the world conditions, going way beyond the 450 seems like it could be hard. We can do that for about even money. That's for a guy that's going to feed a lot of cattle, a lot of hogs. We buy the $4 call, we sell the 370 put, we sell the 450 call, we do it for about even money.
Yeah, Todd, I think you have to take a mentality in a big picture frame of mind that says, look, we're still in a defensive environment. We have a U.S. carryout in wheat that's 48, 50, 52%. We have a world carryout that's high. We have same story in corn, same story in beans. In that environment, until that situation changes or until our demand picks up or we have a bigger crop disaster around the world, you need to be looking out. There's carry in the corn market. There's things that need to be done looking forward. And so the mentality can't be, hey, I sold it here last year, or hey, my target was here. The mentality has to be, what is the reality today? And it's fine to set your sights a little higher here. We're in a situation where funds have gotten overextended on the short side of the market. They could come back, but you need to be ready to act quickly and decisively and have a plan and be disciplined in those situations.
What I've heard, Pete, is fundamentally, we still have a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans, and a lot of wheat on hand.
Have a plan. Be ready to protect the downside. And, if it does, something happens where it goes up, take advantage of it. But protect the downside. Have a plan to do that.
If you're in the corn market at this point, and you mentioned this, the producers are waiting. They really are waiting on both old and new crop to make a sale. Which is more vital for them to do?
Well, that varies from producer to producer. I think the important thing is to try to get the old crop moving. I think Wayne kind of hit it on the head here. If you wait too long, you're going to have a lot of basis contracts come due as we move forward. And the commercial grain trade is historic, putting a low in August, because they call you up and say, do you want to pay another end charge? So don't wait till the bitter end.
Trying to predict when this changes is really hard, and that's what producers are working on at the moment.
Yeah, well, the weathermen do a very, very good job compared to what they used to because of the new, all the different models and everything that's going on. But they are the farthest from perfect people in the world when it comes to percentage of being right. And we're trying to bet on a weather market right now, and we're trying to bet on political things right now, and that's even worse than the weather market. So we have both of the worst two things that a farmer can do. We can generally grow grain well, we can produce well, but to figure out politics and weather is the hardest things we have to do. Now, along the way, I think that you asked Kurt a question. I think the old crop's the one because a lot of these guys have zero corn in the ground. It's awfully hard to get enthused about selling something you haven't got in the ground or get out there that way. So I think it's the old crop they're looking at. And I think that along the way, we look for a good basis level. You watch the weather forecast and you try to do it. If you want, and like I said, along the way right here, we're all highly encouraging people to use options this year, which only cost you an extra 10 cents. But boy, it's better than losing the 40 cents the day that it quits raining.
Come back to the Prevent plant and repeat for me what your advice might be on that.
Well, I think number one, if you haven't got any fertilizer down, any chemical down, anhydrous on put onto the nitrogen especially. If it's just the fertilizer, that's going to stay there and do pretty well. If you have none of your expense costs down, you can cover your cash rent plus your insurance costs because you're going to have to pay your insurance to get the Prevent plant, and you still got $60 or more left an acre, that's not a bad return. So consider that highly. Or if you have some of the other stuff down, look at it that way. But I mean, if you're in the situation where you have an area plan, you don't have Prevent plant, you've got to try to put it in the ground to do it so you can insure your crop against everything else. But I mean, look and see what your return per acre is, or if you've got a chance to make a little more money. But if it gets after June, or you know, it gets into June, you know, that Prevent plant looks awfully good that I've got a guaranteed return, because we don't know what's going on with China. We don't know what's going to go on for the summer weather. I mean, NOAA said we're going to be a little cool and we're going to be a little wet. Is that going to be good for a late planted crop?
So on that Prevent plant issue, Todd, it's a, you know, the first thing I would say to a producer is it's a very complicated calculation, a very complicated decision. There's a lot of implications when you decide to take that Prevent plant. It could affect your APH. It could affect PLC or ARC. All go into that calculation and where you're going to be. So talk to your crop insurance agent, call your broker, whatever. Go through those numbers and know where you're at and how that's going to affect your future. So certainly there's some propensity to take that. I think what makes it different this year is that in normal years where we've had planting delays, we have seen board prices and prices in general rally above our spring crop insurance guarantees. This year, we're well below those crop insurance guarantees in both corn and beans. It makes that decision lean more and more towards prevented planting. If you're in central Illinois, central Indiana, you know, a 200 APH, you're talking $375 roughly an acre if you're at an 85% RP policy. That does pay a lot of bills, but make sure you understand that your insurance premium will come out of that, your cover crop costs will come out of that, and where it lands you on the bottom line and how it affects your APH going forward.
So for some exact details on what Prevent plant means and how that works through the crop insurance and how it might work through ARC and PLC, and I tell you now that it does not matter with ARC and PLC, but you can visit the Farm Doc Daily website, look for an article that was posted by Gary Schnitke this week that is also right now up on the willag.org website, and I'll post the article. It's just a link, but I'll post the article in its entirety very soon as well, so you can find Gary Schnitke's article on Prevent plant and some of the decision processes he thinks farmers will need to make and what the actual facts about the matter are right there at willag.org. Let's get a final word from each of you. I think Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities, we'll start with you today.
Be flexible. Be ready to move. Be ready to jump. Be ready and do it when you need to.
Dave Chatterton is with the Powerline Group. Your final word?
Yeah, Todd, I would echo the same statement. I mean, we're going into a situation where we have to act quickly when we find opportunities. We're in a defensive marketplace. We're getting in a position where we can find and realize finally some of those opportunities. Don't overstay your welcome. Have your offers in place. Have your plan accumulated. And be willing to stay disciplined to that plan.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I like what Dave said. Don't stay too long. I'm going to probably stay through the weekend looking at the weather forecast. I ran an AgriBowl this morning, and I'm with my corn and the beans. I'm not wildly bullish beans, but I am bullish corn for right now. And I'm going to ride it a little bit, but don't try to take it too far.
And finally, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
All right, knuckleheads, you did a great job posting pictures of being stuck in the mud, but now we got the market turned. Don't be posting pictures of planting in the dust.
Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Dave Chatterton of the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, and, of course, from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, Pete Manhart. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like on demand at WILLAG.org.